It's time for Agriculture, presented by Turkana Farms in Germantown, New York, a small-scale producer of heritage breed livestock and a wide array of vegetables and berries on just over 39 acres. They also produce a full array of garden vegetables, many of them heirloom varieties raised naturally, as well as an assortment of berries, including raspberries, blackberries, gooseberries, black, red, and white currants, mulberries, and elderberries. And now, here's Mark Scherzer.
The farm feels like the world in microcosm. The world has Vladimir Putin. The barn has a half-castrated ram, the result of poor testicle banding on my part, who I've now named Vlad. In general, it's inadvisable to name animals you're going to have slaughtered, lest you develop affection for them. But in this case, I don't think I'll have any qualms when he goes to market. Vladimir and Vlad share several characteristics. Both are instinctively aggressive. Both look for their chances and seize their opportunities. Both of these namesakes also hog resources. For Vladimir, it's the commodity wealth produced by the Russian nation. He's thought to have amassed personal holdings held through surrogates in excess of $100 billion, while much of Russia's middle and lower classes struggle. For Vlad the ram, it's hay, always first at the manger and brooking no competition for it. And like Vladimir, Vlad preens. He knows in his heart that he's beautiful. The only difference here is, in the ram's case, it's no delusion. But as revealed in Russia's invasion of Ukraine this week, what Vladimir is most focused on is asserting dominance. And Vlad is no different. While all rams have such a trait to some degree, many manage to behave in a perfectly civilized way. It's hard to know what in nature or nurture makes the occasional creature distort a natural trait to a sociopathic extreme. Is it an effort to overcome feelings of inadequacy, say Vlad's half-testicled state, or Vladimir's short stature? Or, in Vladimir Putin's case, is it having so isolated himself during the COVID pandemic that he had nothing to keep him from stewing in his own grievances? However the pathology develops, it was clear to me 3 or 4 months ago that Vlad the ram was growing into something of a danger. Having been down this road before with aggressive rams, I could tell from the way he eyed me and looked ready to challenge me that he was going to be trouble. And having learned lessons from past rams, I made a decided effort to counteract that development. Now, I've always been the sort to think that reasonable, friendly persuasion works best with other creatures, people included. And therefore, when I started farming, my instinct was to treat all animals as pets. Be sweet, pet them, give them extra grain, and they'll like you and defer to you. I soon learned that in the case of aggressive rams, such behavior on my part was read as submissiveness and seemed to encourage them to make moves to confirm my lower status. They would not be kept in line by positive rewards of the sort I offered, since the positive reward they were most after was being king of the heap. They assert dominance through charging, and I have no desire to test my mettle against an animal that weighs nearly as much as I do with incredibly hard skull and horns. I learned, therefore, to train such animals to fear me. This year, this was my method. I started by clapping my hands loudly and yelling out upon entering the barn to make them move as a group where I could fence them away from myself. But I aimed the loud clapping particularly at Vlad. And if he hesitated, I would charge him, grabbing him by the horns and turning him around to kick him out into the vestibule. For the most part, this has worked. He sometimes hesitates and I have to resort to charging him. But usually upon my entry, he's out of the gate at the first clap. I ignore him if he begs for extra grain while I give my pets all they want. By and large, we rarely eye each other and pretend to ignore each other. To be effective, such a strategy must start early and be unvarying. And maybe that's the problem with Vladimir Putin. Perhaps yielding him minor victories in Georgia and Crimea, treating him as a rational, calculating actor who would take small advantage but never upend the world order, encouraged him. This could be the lesson the world should have learned indelibly from appeasing Hitler in Czechoslovakia. Or maybe the trigger for Vladimir was Donald Trump playing his lapdog in Helsinki. If you play the sub, it just excites the Dom. Though considering how we could have prevented Putin's empowerment is an important question for the future, surely that can wait until we resolve what to do with the untethered monster we've got on our hands right now. I'm thankful that so many of the world's governments have taken steps to isolate Russia and to support the resolute resistance of the Ukrainian people. But I think it's also important for all of us as individuals to do something meaningful in solidarity. As I thought this week about what I personally could do, I took into account another lesson I've learned from the farm, that small steps can matter. For example, for every horse nettle plant I pull out of the pasture in the fall, I prevent hundreds more from being seeded the following year and potentially poisoning the sheep. Little things can add up. So Thursday, I turned down the thermostat in the house by 1 degree, from 64 to 63. I figured that no matter what anyone's ideal temperature is, they can adjust to a 1 degree shift from their regular comfort zone and hardly even notice it. It's a tiny sacrifice that, if performed on a mass scale, could help counteract the energy price inflation that will result from the war, that would enrich Putin, and that might erode public willingness to stick with the Ukrainian resistance to him. I rely on my listenership to be the influencers here, to spread the suggestion to others, if you're so inclined. Of course, if events continue to spiral out of control into some kind of third world war, this step is nothing in relation to the sacrifices that will lie ahead. But maybe getting used to the idea of shared sacrifice, an idea which has struggled to maintain hold during 2 years of pandemic, would also be a good small step. Just 1 degree. Why the hell not?
Agriculture is underwritten by Turkana Farms, LLC, a small-scale producer of heritage-bred livestock and a wide array of vegetables and berries on just over 39 acres in Germantown, New York. More information, 518-537-3815.